Welcome to the Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 27th on the West Coast, now January the 28th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. Kind of spaced out at the end of last night's show, and I don't even recall if I announced who our guest was. If I said it was Jim Murray, that's a mistake in my part, and he'll be on tomorrow. But I think I just neglected to mention who our guests are tonight. We actually have two, and we're going to be bringing them on shortly. First, I want to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Network around the world. That is a radio network, so don't try to get that on the internet. You just can't do that. Before we get into a discussion, which is a continuation of last Thursday night's show with the same two guests. I'm going to let you think a little bit about things a little bit loftier than what's been reported by the mainstream media in recent days.
We'll be right back. distance, clouds of teeth. I'm like a bridge that was washed away. My foundation's one made of clay. As my soul slides down to die, how could I lose it? What did I try? Bit by bit, I realized that he was here with me. I looked into my
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Eric Clapton and My Father's Eyes. Don't let the lyrics fool you. He's talking about the Creator. He's definitely spiritually awake, and he's a messenger, one who's delivering the truth through music, through sound, through harmony, through rhythm, with a lot of soul, tons of soul. And he's come a long way since the passing of his young son a few years back. He really appraised his musical career and decided he was going to sing about topics that have real meaning. And he's not alone in having looked into the Father's eyes. I can guarantee you that. We've had many people on this show that have described the same experience. Tonight, we have two guests, as I've already mentioned. They were with us last week, and I've done well over 90 shows with our first guest. He hosts a website that's very popular around the world, and it's called educate-yourself.org. He is a metaphysical scientist and an inventor of sorts, or at least a manipulator of inventions. He is the editor and webmaster of his site, quite an accomplished journalist, and someone who has helped get the literary careers of many essayists and authors off the ground on his site. He's my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thank you very much. Glad to be with you again, and thank you for your kind remarks as well.
How does that song touch you? Since we started the show off with music, how does Eric Clapton's work in general these days affect you, if at all?
Well, I love the tune. I'm fairly fussy about music too. I wasn't involved in music in a large part of my life. I was a player. I also had an agency for a time, and I manage musicians. So. Frankly, it takes a lot to get me to be really turned on by a tune. I love that tune. That was filled with soul. The musicianship was right in the money. I didn't know it was Eric Clapton until you said his name, and I was going to mention to you, who's ever singing? This guy got real chops. I mean, it was great. I loved it.
He's come a long way since the days of the Yardbirds, hasn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a very good musician. There's no question about that. But boy, that tune just clicked. Good stuff.
Yeah. You know, I was extremely fortunate to have worked with Delaney Bramlett in California for a number of years. And I learned from Delaney that when Eric came to the States and wanted to sort of work his way into the studio scene here, he already had quite a reputation internationally, but he was extremely affected in a positive way by Delaney's own music. If you recall the group Delaney and Bonnie, Delaney goes way back to the 60s, participated in Hootenanny. That was one of the shows, and I'm trying to think of the other one now. For some reason, it escaped my my mind, but I may recall it during the course of the
year. Well, Hootenanny was very big. I was on TV for
the other one. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the other one?
Shindig.
Oh, Shindig. Also, big deal show at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Delaney had a lot of well-known musicians that worked with him. Jimi Hendrix was another one, and Billy Preston. So, their reputations precede them. So we don't need to explain who those guys are. But Delaney he came from the Deep South, and he had that real soulful, down to earth, bluesy style of playing guitar, and he played different styles of music. Got very into gospel in the latter part of his career, and I was fortunate to rub shoulders with the guy that influenced Eric Clapton tremendously. And as I listen to him sing, I hear a lot of Delaney style. He's come a lot further with his music than Delaney has, of course, but that's the changing of the times.
Right, but boy, as you say, the first tune is a good tune, and the presentation is very soulful. And to me, the mark of a good song is, A, you want to hear it again, or you want to go out and buy it and play it again. It's repeating the feeling you've gotten the first time you heard it. That is the benchmark of a tune that's got real, real meat to it, and will stay with you.
Mm-hmm.
I so many musicians, but you probably know who the guitarist Roy Buchanan was. He's sort of an older name for younger folks, but people in our age range, knows well. And the first time I heard him play, I never heard him play live. But the first time I saw him in a film playing on a recording, he was doing a version of Sweet Dreams, and wow, it just blew me away. And I had the similar feelings of soulfulness as I got from him, as I just heard now with the piece you just played. It just goes right through you. When it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
Well,
my reason, I've incorporated music into the show at various times to help people a little bit open up their hearts and approach thought that way, as opposed to through the ego. And of course, we're fighting all kinds of technology now these days, which is designed to keep us from focusing on our heart and identifying with the physical realms in terms of having and not having, and we're really missing out on the essence of life, in my opinion. And so I've incorporated music into the show, and few people have complained because it takes away a little bit of talking time. But
that's true. But at the same time, you're opening up another area that is worth listening to and talking about. Good music is a joyous thing. It's a joyous thing. It's kind of more enjoyable if you're a player, because you can create it yourself, and that's a very special thrill. But even if you're not a player, though, you're just a listener, if you can enjoy music, and I'm talking about good music, because music is a it's a special language. We've talked about this before. It's a special form of communication in which you're having this bridge, if you will, of communication with higher realms of consciousness.
Absolutely.
Is the only way I could put it.
Yeah.
And also, you can create this bridge with lower realms of consciousness by listening to negative, destructive music, you know, the sort of stuff that, you know, I don't approve of, like heavy metal and that type of cacophonous, you know, forget it, even if the lyrics are dark and negative, it's just the nature of you know, bad music is destructive to the into the inner peace and soul and the joy of life and all that. So I remember from the time I was a kid forward, here and there you'd hear preachers in certain circumstances or other people, and you know, talk about not listening to, not being influenced or not going with, you know, bad music. And of course that typically gets a skeptical, sort of cynical response by younger people and, you know, by liberal type minded people who think that's all. But no, it's absolutely the truth. There is good music and there is bad music, and bad music will spiral your, you know, your soul downwards, and good music, you go the other way. Mm-hmm. So I know we're both on the same page when it comes to music. It's a very powerful medium.
Yeah. Well, it's something that sort of dawned on me, and it's not, you know, I mean, when I was in college, I was a DJ and I had a jazz show, you know. I loved playing music and I loved sharing music with people and expanding their horizons. And it forced me to listen to a lot of music, you know, and no one told me, well, you have to play this and you have to play that. I made my own choices. And, you know, being a musician, being a composer myself and a performer, I have a great appreciation for those that communicate a message effectively and actually produce works of art that withstand the test of time at the same time that they're bringing this information forward. I look for the inspiration and it helps me in my discernment, and I know others whom it helps the same.
Yes,
you see.
Yes, I mean, what this is again. These shows are always so much fun, Don, because, of course, we've never planned one yet.
No.
And, simply an open exchange of ideas as they're popping in our head as the minutes of the hour, you know, tick by. I'm sure when ZSL comes on, there will be a similar outflowing of just ideas that will emerge into his consciousness as we're going along. But this is terribly stimulating and enjoyable because, frankly, this is the way human beings are designed to work and act, to allow a free flow, as it were, of creativity to flow up from within you. And, you know, I had thought I was going to go into a couple areas tonight, but you've opened up just a great door here. I'll step through it, and maybe I'll just use my time to just frankly expand on this idea of we talked about it a bit in the last show, but it's really necessary, I think, for younger people to understand these, let's say, universal laws that are at work. I probably couldn't have explained it when I was younger, but I felt it. And today I'm a little bit more knowledgeable in these areas, and I probably can explain it more. But you know, we're here to live a life. You know, life is a gift. The Creator allows all to happen. The earth, the sun, make it possible for food to grow and for animals to grow, and we in turn take nourishment from the plant and the animal kingdom. And this was all meant to be. So we're here to have a journey. Ideally, if we can get rid of the, you know, the dark siders, the journey could be, you know, pleasant from the earliest age to very old age. So, but nevertheless, it's still, even with Darksiders on the planet, it's still an enjoyable life, and it's very fulfilling, as long as you understand that you're here to live and learn,
mm-hmm.
and that when you allow yourself to be influenced by the, let's say, the wrong avenues of expression that the Darksiders usually wander down, if you allow yourself your life, your motivation, your whole raison d'être to be overshadowed by the lust for money or power or sex or whatever, you know, those kind of vices are that they usually hook you with on the dark side, you don't enjoy life that much.
People are living in fear. You know,
exactly. And you're this wealthy, and if you're a corporate type, and you're in that jungle, and you know, it's shark eat shark in a corporate environment type world, and you're always trying to cover, what kind of life is this? You know, it's so dumb. So that you know when your heart is singing, as some poets have put it, you know, you enjoy life. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or somewhere in between. You can enjoy life if you understand the bigger principle of, you know, trying to live within the parameters of conduct that the Creator had intended for us to live in.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do that, the flow of life, like a river, carries you along, and there is this unending succession of opportunities and expressions of creation, which will be dropped on your doorstep. It happens all the time. It's something that, you know, I'll just mention a few things today. I had, you know, some wonderful new things dropped in my lap in the last few days, and it's in the reason that happens, and it's always has happened to me for most of my life, and particularly in the last 10 or 15 years or so since I've had this website, you know, because I can communicate with a lot more people can reach me, this gathering of gifts, if you will, has intensified. But this principle works for everyone as long as you obey the rules that I alluded to earlier. So in just the last few days, I was talking, maybe 3 or 4 days ago, I can't remember exactly, I was talking to a man. He had left a message for me, so I called him back. And in talking to him, I shared some info with him. I thought in the beginning of the conversation that I was just, you know, helping him out, and he wanted to reproduce some of my articles on his website. So I was telling him, you know how it's done, and it's no problem. Just, you know, the typical things you and I normally ask for, you know, accurate attribution, you know.
And the check is in the mail. And
yeah, nothing, no big deal. I'm not trying to, hoard it. I happily have other people reproduce my stuff. But so anyway, I talked to his son. His son was very happy to talk to me, you know. So fine, I loved talking to him. We had this nice, he had to go. So the son had to attend to something else, very apologetic that he had to leave the phone. But the dad came back on. And then the father said to me, he says, you're interested in free energy stuff. I says, oh, yeah. I says, if I had more time, I'd love to do a lot more of that. I said, when I started my website, I was focusing more on that. Alternative health information, free energy was very exciting areas to explore. So long story short, he put me on to a link of a website out of Australia that has the most, let's say, well-organized resource list of articles, patents, explanations, very well-organized. I'm going to be writing about this. I'm going to be putting it on my website. But when I actually went to the site and started to look at the articles and download them, a lot of these things I had become exposed to in the 90s, from approximately 94 to 2000 or 2001. I had more time for free energy research, so I was looking to a lot of things. Well, I not only saw the latest developments in the inventors and inventions that I was looking at the time, but I found a lot more that I wasn't even aware of, because a lot of people had taken up the ball between the year 2000 and 2010 in free energy research. And mamma mia, I was so elated by the magnificent information that this fellow had made available, and I'll be reproducing the whole thing on my website. So
You have to let me know when that's out.
Absolutely.
I presume it probably contained a lot of information about cold fusion, which you never hear about these days.
Virtually every possible topic of free energy is embedded in this guy's masterfully organized resource list.
Yeah.
This guy did an excellent job, and he deserves a great deal. Something that I would have loved to do. That's something I did partially when I had time to work on free energy in the late 90s. I did a little bit of this work, but nothing compared to the magnificent job that this guy did. So I'll be putting that up. But people who have even the slightest interest in making things themselves, people who have a little bit of knowledge in electronic circuit design, which I plan to expand on my website anyway, because it's not a big deal to understand how electronics work, how electronic circuits work. Because once you've gotten that language under your belt, then this whole world of free energy research is wide open to you. Anybody can do and make these devices themselves at home. The key is the information. Yeah. And in previous decades, the guys who worked on these devices were hoping to make a fortune, you know, by patenting it and so forth. But in every case, the Illuminati takes out people, you know, either physically takes them out or sees to it that they get defunded and ridiculed. I mean, the list is endless.
Mm-hmm.
But so today, in order to get free energy devices in the hands of the average, you know, the common man around the world, you have to give it away free on the internet. But that's precisely what has taken place.
Yes.
This information is available now for free on the internet, and it just requires you understand what is being explained. And I'm going to play a little bit of a role in explaining these inventions so the guy who doesn't have a background in this can, you know, realize the importance of this and start looking into it. You wanted to comment on this.
Well, I was going to give our other guest an opportunity to come on. However, I have a musical fanfare before I introduce him. And you were talking about free energy. This is perfect. I don't know if you're familiar with a pianist from Japan by the name of Hiromi Uehara, but this is free energy in the piano. Okay. The Tom and Jerry Show. That's what we're going to call our show tonight.
Okay.
Here's Hiromi Uehara. Thank you. Bad the applause didn't run longer on that clip. Just fantastic playing. Now,
very good player.
Reminds you know, I was going to make a comment on what you were saying before, Ken, and that's that this planet has been run, and we're going to get a comment from our guest coming up here in a moment. Mm-hmm. This planet has been run by frequency control. And if you doubt that, look at the clock and how it repeats the pattern, okay? Look at the sirens, police sirens, and emergency sirens, fire engine sirens, school alarms, school bells, and some towns even have chimes or whistles that go off at certain times of day. And it's all frequency control, stop signs, traffic lights, and you have these problems now in the ATMs getting money. You can only do it with a certain amount of frequency and a certain quantity within that time frame. So everything is frequency control. This kind of music just dispels all of that. It sort of causes it to evaporate. And it allows us to look within ourselves. And it lifts us up, as you were saying, to a higher state of consciousness. Human doesn't necessarily have to mean serpent man. They would like us to believe that, but I would submit to you that it means higher universal man. You see, human beings are higher universal men and women, being the act of experience, the act of doing something rather than vegetating or submitting to frequency control. And I'm going to get a comment now from our second guest who has been waiting so patiently and graciously in the background. He himself is an intuitive essayist, a metaphysician, and someone who really is discerning what's going on around the planet. I want to welcome him back to the show and get his comments on what we were just talking about. Our good friend, Zuranova Star Livingstone, or ZS, as I call him on the show. Yes, welcome to the show.
I'm here. That was very enjoyable listening to you talk about the music and talk about that which turns you on and that energy coming from over unity and making life worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of this Japanese pianist who by the way, is a woman?
He or she.
She's a woman. And I think the premier jazz pianist in Japan and one of the most perfectionists in the whole world on the instrument. I mean, that was an improvisation.
Does she have 20 fingers?
If she has 20, 10 of them are invisible. Let's put it that way. And I mean, she's just that exuberant in everything she does, you know, really a lot of soul, a lot of emotion. And you can tell that as a student of music, she was very disciplined. So she learned the classical techniques and she adapted it to the heart. And it comes out in whatever she plays. She's a composer as well. and records a lot of her own original music. I found that piece, and it was like, boy, I have to share that with the listening audience, because number one, it brings back those days when we used to watch the Tom and Jerry cartoons. But to interpret the music the way she did is just phenomenal. Your comments on that, if you want.
Oh, talking about when you're, of course, watching Tom and Jerry at age five, you're a perpetual motion machine. I would have been called ADH or whatever it's called.
ADHD, yeah.
Yeah, I was hyperactive at that time. Mm-hmm. Energy was coming in and be running around like Tom and Jerry on the screen. And many children right now are exhibiting that and are under the frequency control of Ritalin.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll be able to get rid of that poison and have them running their lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, if we take into account, and I want to talk about the technology, the really dark technology that's occurring, the creation of cybernetic beings, and the fact that if you go back 10 or 15 years and look at cartoons, the cartoons they're showing on mainstream television, and it's all robotic figures or
Transformers.
Yes. You know, there's technology and these themes of everything is automated, and they're teaching at a very early level children subconsciously to accept an artificial reality through that, and they use the very characters. You know, I'm not saying Popeye is not real, but they synthesize the voices of these characters now, where before you had people going, go, 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 go. You know, they would do their
Mel Blanc
or the Mel Blanc types. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we accepted a false reality as children, and it was thought to be entertainment. Isn't that cute? But what was really going on was programming. You see, they were preparing us for the stage we're in now. But it's transcended into all the technologies that we use, whether it's the Blackberries or the Wi-Fi systems, computers, iPads, iPods, and all the copies of those things. The idea of texting, constantly subjecting yourself to microwave frequencies or ultra high frequencies. You know,
my wife's teaching in a preschool, and she's finding that 3, 4, and 5-year-olds are not being able to socialize with one another, and because they're so wired into TV and to their electronic games that and talking over wires or wirelessly, that they don't, when they come face to face, they don't know how to respond.
And is anything being done to correct that in terms of?
What she's doing is play therapy or play, having the children imagine, spread their imagination out and explore their world through their senses and, mm-hmm. And cooperate with the other children and share with them. She has to actually teach sharing. These kids are all so insulated in their mm-hmm. electronic houses.
Now, has that expanded itself to cover the whole school where she teaches, or is that just something that
it's in?
She's incorporated.
Well, she's running all the teachers are running into the same problem,
mm-hmm.
and the kids want to get home and play their Xbox 360 or whatever.
Well, guess who's behind all that? You see, it's the same people who are controlling the adults.
Right.
You know, there's really no difference. To many adults, those video games are just as addictive.
Yes.
Especially if they're people that are just, you know, operating on this automatic semi-conscious level and predominantly subconscious. because they're not making their own decisions. They're allowing others to make the decisions for them. And then all of their activity is based on what they're told to do.
I just heard a New York Times reporter talking about New York outlawing the use of earbuds while walking in intersections because there's been so many accidents where the people are just totally tuned out of what's happening around and they're walking down the streets in New York, a dangerous place at times, but out into the middle of traffic without looking, without being aware of where they are.
Well, are they taking into account the fact that the drivers of the vehicles are also text messaging people and talking on cell phones? I'm not saying the kids aren't responsible for what they're doing, but there's, you know, two sides to that, because if that's happening, the drivers aren't paying a whole lot of attention either.
No.
You know, there's the frequency control again, you see.
Right.
This obsession to have to have a cell phone in your hand, almost as if it's a status symbol now. You know, you're not cool if you're driving your Ford Focus and you don't have a cell phone in your hand. You know, mm-hmm. The attention goes to the car.
Yeah. Well, they put a $200 fine in British Columbia on that and still people are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's when they probably make the arrests or issue the citations when they're in a money crunch around the 15th and the 30th of the month. You know,
oh, that's why, huh?
There's again more frequency control.
Right.
You know. Ken, do you want to chime in on anything that we're talking about here?
Well, I'm interested in what CS had just mentioned about kids and the mm-hmm. preoccupation with electronic devices and so forth. This is not a healthy development. And I first became, you know, more concerned about it probably in the 80s when I started to notice that the at least by the 80s, the content of cartoons were becoming more, dark is the only way to put it. That began to concern me and bothered me. In earlier periods, cartoons, during the 30s or 40s, for instance, or at least up to the time TV started to show up in the 50s, the place you saw cartoons was at the movie houses, and they, you know, if the shows that, particularly on a Saturday, that was typically a kid's matinee type of day, in between the two or three or four movies they would show, there would be cartoons. So all the famous Warner Brother cartoons or Disney cartoons, et cetera, that we later saw on TV in the 50s and 60s. Really originated with the movies, but you know the themes were playful and mischievous and kind of light. But this idea of the mechanization of humans into, you know, these transformer type morphing ideas is not good, and the themes themselves are, you know, often not good. I am equally not happy with the turning into this area in Japan. Comic book art is a big deal. You know, they call it anime and manga, and a lot of young Japanese people, and I'm talking beyond the age of 20, children of grammar school age, I'm talking about teenagers and beyond, are hooked on this genre. And they call, in Japan, they call young people who are like obsessed with something, either with collecting, models like Transformer models, or collecting dolls or doll clothing, they call them otakus. And there's nothing wrong with that in one sense, because it's okay. But these people have been, well, frankly, so taken over, as you, if you will, by this these dolls, a manner of dressing, for instance. Some people have, you know, have entire wardrobes of kind of costumes that are found in these manga comic books that are seen on these animations, and they're really into this. They you know, have parties, they get together, they you know, all dress up in these different costumes, and they kind of play act this artificial world. And I wish, again, it depends on the individual and how he's, you know, getting along in the rest of his life and what he's otherwise doing. Because, you know, during my generation, Don, there was a time in my life in which pinball machines were just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand it's a normal part of growing up to go through stages. Maybe you become, you know, really turned on to gambling with cards or whatever. So we all can go through these things. So I don't want to overemphasize this, but what I'm not happy about, though, is, as Zias just pointed out, it's the artificial nature of these fantasy realms, you know, mm-hmm. that is not good. And I wish more parents would talk to their kids about it. You know, you don't have to punish them, you don't have to scold them, you don't have to forbid it. You just have to talk to them to explain what it means to be human and what the roads we should not go down, which allow us, you know, which, you know, get us into avenues of behavior that dehumanize us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to allow that to happen, because that's exactly what the Illuminati is trying to do.
Now,
you see it in movies, and I mean, we see it. Go ahead.
You know, I thought you had finished your sentence. Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt. You gave away a secret just now, and you explained why I named my Eisenhower research Teenage Mutant Ninja Eisenhowers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Birth Certificates.
Oh, God, I love it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's a script. It might as well have been a cartoon.
A cartoon.
That's right. Basically what I was saying. I mean, it's serious business, folks. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But sometimes just the pun of the title sticks in your mind. Well, it's something about Teenage Mutant Ninjas.
Yes.
You know, if you can remember that, you'll find the articles, you know. So
with Italian artist names.
Yeah, it just hit me, though, while you were explaining that, because that's what I did with that title. But then you took one of your article titles and took it a step further, and I'm speaking about Barack and Michelle reveal reptilian baggage at an airport, at London Airport. Oh, that's a classic title.
Yeah.
See?
Well,
And that's what, you know, you really, you're substantiating, you know, in what you do in your essays and that, or your articles, which are really pieces of literature when you get done with them, because you're so thorough about putting references and giving people an expanded path to follow, you know, if they want to know more about why you're saying what you're saying within the context of the particular topic. And I noticed that ZS's work fits very well with that pattern too. And I find it very hard to disagree with what he talks about and, you know, the information that he's bringing forth. Either in my own way, I have picked up on what he's saying, although he has a distinctive style in presenting it, but often he'll mention something that I hadn't thought of when I look at it, you know, from a discerning perspective. I tend to agree. I get the same read or the same result. Yeah. You know. Yes, comment. Go ahead.
My essays aren't as long as yours, Don.
Well, those they're not really essays that I'm doing. I mean, it's you know, the debunking of history and the revealing of the truth and the evidence.
You've had follow up a long trail of information, magically going from one finding the clues through the web of history.
Mm-hmm.
And
that information isn't easily come by in the traditional ways. You know,
no.
You don't go down to your library and dig up a book that nobody heard of. Although once in a while, that works. They somehow it got past them and it's still on the shelf. You know, and people are checking it out. But what I'm talking about more is of an intuitive nature. And you're doing the same sorts of things. You're sticking to one particular topic. And I'm sure you could write a lot more if you wanted to. But
yes, I could. My wife has been insisting I should be writing a book. I asked her, which one?
The work I'm doing eventually is going to go into a book. There's no doubt about it that it has to. It has to exist in one place, something that someone can hold in their hand and open anytime they choose.
Right.
And it doesn't depend on the internet or censorship. You know, that's the thing about what's going on is, you know, we bring the information from our experiences and from our research and from our intuition. All three of us who are on the show tonight work in that way. Doesn't mean that we don't think about things and analyze things with thought, but our intention is to really see it. So we use a similar technique to achieve or to make contact with that information. To bring it forth and into some form. With us, it's been primarily our writing.
Right. There seems to be a lid on information, and in my thinking and pushing on that lid, every once in a while, I see a little glimpse of sunlight into a dark place,
mm-hmm.
and I keep pushing that lid up, and it's going higher and higher. But still, there's a lot of darkness and a lot of lies mm-hmm. that have been pushed down on people's consciousness, where the information, where history has been written by the victors, and the victors want to control everything.
Mm-hmm. You can spot the lies in the media by counting the number of times they repeat them. In other words, when you hear the words or the phrases repeated and you go from one network to another, I'm not even encouraging people to watch mainstream news, but I'm saying if you do, you could look at the fact that they repeat these phrases over and over and over. It's frequency control again, you see, the number of times that they think they can coerce someone to buy a product as a consumer is to show them a commercial seven times. And on the seventh time, their research shows that they buy it. Now, you have to wonder if I've never been asked that question by anyone. I don't know about you, but I would venture to guess both you, Ken, and UZS were never asked by anyone taking a poll or doing any research on the issue how many times you watched the commercial before you went out and bought a product. So how do they come up with these figures? You know,
I really had to laugh when I heard on the day after Obama's State of the Union, I was listening to the radio in the morning. I usually do. And it's amazing. I guess it was NPR. It's my it's my favorite propaganda outlet because it's, you know, it's continuous talk, but it's the Tavistock party line
mm-hmm.
24 hours a day. So whatever I said it before, but I'll repeat it. Whatever the Illuminati wants you to believe, then tune into NPR because that's the story you're going to get from national public radio. Anyway, I think it either was them or it might have been an AM station. You know, most AM stations are owned by Clear Channel, and that's another kind of mainstream propaganda outlet. But they were saying, they were reporting different polls, and one of them was the CBS poll. Yeah, like the Columbia Broadcasting System poll is going to be an unbiased sampling of the American public, or CNN reported a poll in which they were reporting numbers like 92-93% approval rating of Obama's speech. That's ridiculous. Anyone who is aware of what's going on in the country, knows who and what Obama is, knows that the speech was ridiculous. It was vapid. It was insignificant. It was meaningless, like all of his speeches. If you just stepped onto the planet, you could say it's sort of a rousing type of feel-good speech with lots of bromides, no substance whatsoever, but a lot of feel good. And of course, Obama is a good actor. He reads the lines with conviction. He reads his teleprompter with which he apparently was trained to do,
like a
to
pro.
Read with yeah, with conviction. So, you know, I would say there's good acting there, but this man can't even talk to a fourth grade grammar school class without a teleprompter being set up in the room. I heard that on Rush Limbaugh a week or so ago. I practically fell off the floor. He's incapable of speaking freely because he, you know, he's a teleprompter man. He's just we heard his speechwriter's speech. I have no idea what his thoughts are. I know what the speechwriters had to say in the State of the Union. And so anyway, yeah, 92%. Who pays attention to that? I mean, I'm sure, I think, the bulk of the American public knows that polls are rigged, just like elections are rigged. Who really believes 92%?
They didn't even take a poll. It's just the news.
Yeah, I don't know whether they're just making up or they're just taking 100 people from their organization. I don't know the parameters of the poll, but I know that a large segment of the American public was hardly ecstatic over what this man had to say. It was just the next step in the NWO takeover of America. He was setting the stage for this. I just put an article up on this website tonight. I mentioned that there is a connection between the new free trade zones that are going to be erected in 257 cities in America, and the visit of Hu Jintao from China, and the appointment of this fellow, Jeffrey Immelt, who's the CEO of General Electric, to head up this new council that of job stimulus and competitiveness, et cetera, that Obama just created to replace the old advisory council that Immelt was also part of, but it was headed up by Paul Volcker, another Illuminatus, inside guy.
Yeah, and they're taking over the land, too, to bring their people in. Why else would they be developing all this land and acquiring?
Absolutely.
You know?
So that this is in-your-face selling out of America, folks, it's treason. There is no other way to put it. You have Communist Obama welcoming the top communist dictator of the world from China, and you have another sellout who's going to package the program that's going to sell this fantasy to the American people that somehow it's good for us, that we have 257 factory locations of Chinese workers making Chinese products here in America so that we can buy them at Walmart from them and squander more of our, you know, our national treasure on Chinese products instead of keeping Chinese products at bay by having real trade restrictions and encouraging the growth of industry and product making inside America by American citizens.
Well, they're talking about converting these into free trade zones.
Right.
It's a sovereign Chinese property within the United States.
That's exactly what the article I mentioned I put up tonight talks about.
Yeah.
It's one of the three things I mentioned. Right. Absolutely.
Let's get CS's input on this.
Okay.
What do you see happening on a larger scale, CS?
Well, here in British Columbia, we can see the rumbles of China growing at 9-10% per year, because all the mines are operating at full health. They're shipping coal, they're shipping everything. My town's on the main line of the Canadian Pacific Railway, and we have 30 or 40 trains, 150 cars long, full of commodities coming out of Eastern Canada, going through Vancouver to China. And 2 years ago, China grew at 17%, which is incomprehensible. You'd have to go back 100 years to the time period when the United States was overcoming becoming the number one economy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, with World War I, Britain went down and the United States was number one. And the United States was the industrial growth of the United States was over 10%. And it was hot, hot growth.
Mm-hmm.
China is going through this right now. India is too.
Yeah.
And it's all been manipulated by the Illuminati, who control the Pilderboro in China. They control the premier of China.
Estonia is doing very well financially too.
Yeah.
In terms of per capita income, which is very, I mean, it's enlightening in a sense, but it's if this is done intentionally to depress the surrounding areas.
Right.
Didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to chime in.
You see glimpses of reports of the growth of China, and you see they just built the biggest bridge in the world, and they just did the biggest airport everything's really, really big there, just like it was in the United States when the United States was building. And they are pushing the envelope. But you're not getting the reports on the media as to the switchover to indicate why the United States economy has been forcibly tanked. And here on the periphery of the United States, where we're still Canada is still the number one trade partner with the U.S., with commodities going north and south, even more so than China. But we can see the shift to the Far East. And I can feel the trains rumbling under my feet where I am right now. It sometimes keeps me up at night. Just hearing those trains moving tons and tons of stuff across the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm. How long has this been going on in your area that you're aware of, at least?
10 years.
10 years. Okay.
Yes. We were getting about 20 or so trains a day. We're now up to 30 or 40 trains a day, which is a lot of traffic for this area. And nothing like Chicago is still on the freeways of Chicago. You have the trucks going from Milwaukee to Gary, Indiana, you have the GNP of Canada itself,
mm-hmm.
on 18 wheelers, or along the LA freeway. You still have that huge GNP of the United States,
mm-hmm.
visibly available. But I'm really concerned that with the deliberate subterfuge on the American economy and the theft of the American economy,
mm-hmm.
that Canada is going to be forcibly, well, in order to save the United States, Canada and Mexico will have to join to save the dollar or save the or create the Amero. We're getting hints of that in our the Canadian version of the NPR, which is the CBC.
Yeah, I'm personally, I don't think the Amero is going to fly, but no, that doesn't mean that they won't keep talking about it to keep us paying attention to something while, you know, we're missing out on what's really going on. I wanted to comment on this because if what you're saying is true, and I have no reason to doubt what you're describing in the amount of detail, and you might know if this is occurring in Canada. I'm not aware of it, but I know that there are some Canadian players in some of the mining activities in this country, and that there are some mines that went bankrupt. Now, how do you go bankrupt owning, let's say, a silver mine or a gold mine?
Not these prices.
Yeah. And it's as though they intentionally go bankrupt because they've stolen all the money and they're not paying their investors.
I agree.
Their dividends, number one. Yeah. Okay, that gives them the excuse then to possibly cover their backside because they've stolen this money and it's tied into, let's say, treasury certificates owned by the Chinese. Mm-hmm. See, this 30-year period that we're experiencing right now, the aftermath of it, of these 30-year bonds or certificates, also held by the Saudis, for example, and some other countries. Right. See, they were all swindled out of that money. And now China is putting their foot down, and you're witnessing the relinquishment of real property, and in the case of mines, what income potential is there as well that could benefit the people in that area.
Yeah.
But no, this cabal has taken control of it, and now they're being challenged, you see.
Yes.
And China has the money, and they have the military might, because we've had traitorous presidents that have gladly, or maybe for money, for their own personal financial gain, gave away secrets, nuclear secrets, and deep technology secrets. What? To further this insane agenda to control the whole earth. So It's obvious that, at least from my perspective, that this is how these opportunities are opening up, that all this land is available. And it shows a lot of forethought and conniving in the background that they would come up with 257 locations spread out all over the 50 states the way that they have. And that's the tip of the iceberg, as far as I'm concerned. Go ahead, CS.
One of the most famous trade zones is actually in Northwest Arkansas, that was instituted during Clinton's governorship. And of course, you have the headquarters for Walmart there, and they were bringing 747s from China all the way into a town of 10,000 where Walmart's warehouses were, and shipping it out on J.B. Hunt trucks, which is the biggest trucking firm in the United States, in another town 10 miles away. And just in that same triangle was Tyson Foods, producing more chickens than anybody else in the world. And it's all owned by the Rockefellers, including Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, you see, anyone can be successful with a good business idea. But to me, somehow, Sam Walton and the Walton family, you wouldn't think would wield that kind of power to take a whole country worth of goods and pit it against your own country's manufacturing base, which is what they did.
Yeah.
Forcing the manufacturers who are also the greediest breed on the planet to go to China and other economically depressed countries to get dirt cheap labor. and still charge us more money for the same products, as if somehow the price is warranted or mirrors the quality of the manufacturing, which has not been the case whatsoever.
No.
It may drive some prices down, but what you're getting for that price is not warranted. So the inflation is hidden by back engineering products and downgrading what they can do, or downgrading the quality,
right,
to make everything become obsolete. Ken, do you want to comment on what we're...
Well, I'm learning a lot in just listening to you two fellows speak. So I would just add to the idea that when it comes to, let's say, the growing influence and power of China, when I talk about trade restrictions and/or the American people should become riled about these free trade zones and see to it that they aren't established. All the locations and the individuals who are involved in coordinating this this setup operation, it's available on the internet. On my article, there's embedded a couple links, which in the body of the story on the free trade thing, that will lead you to those websites. I'll probably put up another page that just talks about the free trade zone and include all the links so you can see where they're located, who's in charge, etc. Local opposition has to grow, and because if this installations go forward, it's not good. It's not good for the American people, so we should do something about it. But anyway, I just want to get back to the notion, when I complain about the Chinese, of course, I'm not complaining about the Chinese people. I'm complaining about the communist Chinese government. So when I complain about the United States, of course, I'm not complaining about the people. It's about the treasonous individuals, the New World Order players who are in charge of the United States government. The same could be said for every government, every major government around the world, Canada, Australia, you name it, France, Germany, they're all headed up by Illuminati players. They're part of this New World Order club. So that we want the Chinese people to flourish, to have, a car, to have have a comfortable house to live in, to have modern appliances, to enjoy all the fruits of modern life. And they could have that without the Chinese Communist Party running their government, just as we could have good relations with all nations on this planet. We could have fair trade exchange with all nations on this planet. We could all prosper.
Yeah, you leave it up to the masses. The masses are just going to want to get along with everybody.
Exactly.
It's their nature.
Right. So I just want to be sure that all who listen to this show, to this recording, understand that my quarrel is not with the people of these nations, because the people in China want the same things that the people in America want. We want a peaceful life. We want to raise our kids. We want them to go to school. We want to, live in reasonably decent conditions and, enjoy life. This is the same for human beings around the planet.
Yeah.
What we have to focus on are these manipulators who are setting us up for these destructive agendas, setting us up for these conflicts, etc. And as individuals, we have to first recognize the game. That's the most important thing. And once you recognize the game, do your part to not participate in what the manipulators want you to do.
Yeah. And know that there are others from other parts of this universe, certainly of other parts of this galaxy, who are paying very close attention to what's going on. Because what is happening, this insanity that's happening on the Earth, can adversely affect the whole of the universe. And that's not going to be allowed. So we have some very powerful beings on our side, not to mention if you're aligned with the Creator. You can't get any better help than that.
Right.
It's kind of a no-brainer. I didn't mean to cut you off, Ken, but...
No, but I always appreciate your add-ons, Don. Yeah, exactly. If you're if you're, you know, processing positive thoughts, which I keep on mentioning in practically every talk that I do with you, by processing positive thinking and positive thoughts, you align yourself with the creative stream of life. And once that happens, you will be allowed to have greater communication with the universal mind. Now, we all have a higher self. Every single one of us is just a part of a larger consciousness that Edgar Cayce referred to as the higher self. The higher self has access to all of the truth and the knowledge of the universal mind. We can open up greater channels of communication with our higher self by thinking positively and acting positively. That in turn allows more information to flow through our higher self into our conscious mind that allows these clever ideas to pop up in our mind, that allow these intuitive leaps of imagination to occur to us.
Mm-hmm.
This can happen and will happen with every human being on the planet if you open up the process, open up the valve, let it all happen. You shut off the valve by doing what the Illuminati wants you to do, to get into negative behavior, negative lifestyle, negative habits, destructive habits, destructive thinking, etc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind
and
of...
And to be apathetic and fearful.
Yeah.
As well, which
all
is
that,
paralyzing.
Paralyzing. Very good. So anyway, that's yeah. Right.
I want to give ZS a chance to add to this. I know I can feel him chomping at the bit. this, you know, because it opens up discernment too, okay, what this process, right. Ken was just describing, opens up one's discernment. And once it opens, and vouch for me on this, if I'm correct in this, that once you open your discernment, it's really hard to go back. You could only go backwards and lose that ability by neglecting it. But once you discover it, it's a natural process to allow it to expand. Isn't that correct?
Yes. It's like lifelong learning. You always have to look at things. You have to probe beneath the surface and look at what's happening, and you look for the whole picture and you look for the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And do the pieces fit into that picture? Is a piece not fit in there? And what's it doing there? Who inserted that false piece there? And so quite often that false lead will become a tripping stone, which most people will stumble over and fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's been scientific speculation that, and certainly in metaphysical circles, that a person comes here and physically they have so many heartbeats on their slate. And when they run out of heartbeats is when they pass away into another dimension as a spirit being or as a light being. And they leave the vehicle. They leave the physical body. Now, if that's true, and one is living in fear, one is more likely to have a faster heart rate. Unnecessary, right? And they're going to shorten their lifespan, or they're going to use up those allotted heartbeats, is what I'm saying. So you have a choice if you want to live in fear. And if that statement is true, now it may just be a philosophical statement. It may be an attempt to scientifically explain something of an ethereal nature, because if we are the creators of our lives and certainly our past, our present, and our future, which is really one continuum, then isn't it possible that that we can cause ourselves to live longer, to be healthier, and to reject the idea that you have to die by a certain year if you're a man, or if you're a woman, another year, you know, another age, in other words, that everyone seems to be accepting by and large, that, well, Women live an average of 75 years. So, therefore, when women are rounding year 70, they start becoming more fearful and more concerned, because somewhere in the back of their mind, they're accepting this idea that they have no control over their life, you see. Right. You know, you want to comment on that? It's very abstract in a way, and it's very basic in another way.
But you can also look at it from the point of view of the higher self trying to get into people's, or trying to establish routes of communication with people on Earth. And higher mind has also has the option of pulling the plug on the expressions of itself in the physical dimension. And so if a soul is so trapped into the illusion and has no possible way of really experiencing life, then your heart beats, your heart beats start shutting down. From the perspective of the higher self looking down onto humanity, 90-95% of people are really asleep. Mm-hmm. And just a small percentage are awake, and maybe only a handful of the whole planet are actually cosmically aware of what their potential is.
Mm-hmm. Question for you, ZS. Do you think as a result of that, or is it possible that, let's say, the parasitizing of their life force causes them to stay in this somnambulistic state?
Yes.
In other words, these programs actually are stealing energy.
The programs tell people to externalize their energy to those false programs. Right from the very start of our life, we're giving our power away to others.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the big ones are the first ones, your parents, but that's a natural symbiotic relationship that you need in order to grow to your adulthood. Naturally, by the time you're 16, 17, 18, you're thinking of going on your own. But then you're going to be hooked up onto credit, and you're going to be being led to careers which aren't your best choice. You've already had 12 years or approaching 12 years of education, a cookie cutter education, which is trying to squeeze you into being good workers for the company store.
Mm-hmm.
And
consumers too.
And being a consumer society, and you're in a consumer society, you're constantly giving power away to wherever you're spending your money. Where your money goes is where your consciousness mm-hmm. is.
And then putting the value in those purchases, those products that you've purchased, as the status of your reality. In other words, if you have lots of possessions, then you're a successful person.
Yeah, the one who has the most toys at the end of their life wins. Wins what?
Mm-hmm. And who gets them when you leave? You know.
Yeah. So
the non-producers always get them. It's a general rule, you know.
Right.
Ken, I can hear you wanting to add something to.
Well, yeah, it's always fun to listen to both of you. The use of the word consumer, of course, is a Tavistock-created term, and I intentionally avoid using those expressions because I don't want to assist the Illuminati in any of their psychological brainwashing schemes,
mm-hmm.
and the use of the term consumer is one of them. Before,
but I have to mention that so you can bring that point up.
Exactly. But I do remember when it essentially was created. It was somewhere in the 60s or 70s in which that word began to become used commonly in mainstream, you know, media
mm-hmm.
outlets. Prior to that, we used to talk about, you know, customers of a particular store, or you know, we'd have customer relations people at a store, the manager would be worried about pleasing the customer. And somewhere in there, somewhere in the mid to late 60s into the early 70s, this word consumer was inserted wherever we used to use the word buyer or customer. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, let's say, diabolical shift of emphasis. A consumer is what? Almost sort of like a robotic entity who's consuming something, using it up. So you have to keep on feeding this robotic entity, this product which is consumed. I mean, that's sort of the inner mental image you get by using that word, which sort of works for them because they want to turn people, human beings, into a like a robotic class.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I use the term robocops when I talk about these legions of policemen around the country who have been co-opted by the federal government via federal dollars to kind of play their game of the flak jacketed, you know, military helmeted, SWAT team type of killer robots who are, you know, being set up to replace the blue uniforms, you know, without the flak jacket, with a, you know, a single revolver pistol on his hip guy who used to be the image of the American cop, you know, civilian type of a person.
Citizen, they like
citizen type citizen. Person, right? Managing, you know, citizen behavior, not a militarized version of this robocop that police across this country should be rebelling against, not going along with the program, not going along with the game plan, not going along with the police chiefs who are by and large, you know, bought off characters, sell out characters like we've had here in LA. You know, the former police chief was Bratton, you know, before him many years ago was Daryl Gates. The current one's a guy named Beck. They're all New World Order sellout type dudes. And the rank and file have to know that and have to say among themselves, you know, we got to stop going along with this takeover of America. We're the equivalent of Nazi death camp mm-hmm. guards by following orders here. So that's the role that policemen could play in recognizing the game and doing their own little private organization and push back against this agenda. Because unless we all participate in the resistance movement, we're not going to make it. You know, they're going to succeed, and we're all going to, you know, the ones of us who are talking like this are going to wind up in these FEMA concentration camps. And so, you know, the danger's real.
Yeah, you know, the word citizen, I just looked up my computer dictionary version of this. Of course, it's a noun. A legally recognized subject or national of a state or commonwealth, either native or naturalized. But what they fail to mention in that definition is the fact that the state or the commonwealth is a private corporation.
It is today, but it doesn't have to be.
It's not intended. But notice the word legally. It doesn't say law.
Absolutely, yes.
Or constitutional. Constitutionally.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to remind, again, younger listeners, they don't know these things.
Mm-hmm.
Cities and states and the federal government became corporations after they were first city, state, and states, okay, before they became a corporation. What was done can be undone.
Mm-hmm.
A city could become unincorporated.
Mm-hmm.
A township can become unincorporated. And people who have their brains in place and are in a position to have some impact on the local political scene should be looking at that. We can wind down the New World Order takeover scheme by reversing all of the mechanisms that they've used to get us to this juncture of takeover.
Mm-hmm.
We can insist that these, you know, cameras that are installed, you know, at every traffic light or whatever, or, you know, and be taken down. We can, you know, we can reverse all of the mechanisms that they have put in place to track our every movement, to surveil us. this stuff can be dismantled. So that's what young people have to think about.
Yeah, they're going to promise you that it offers security, even the word hope or the word dreams. I mean, that's the nature of the average political speech today. They just repeat these words that have nothing to do with the topic at hand.
Right. Yeah. That's there's Obama's State of the Union speech.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even listen to a word of it.
I listen to it. I always want to hear what the opposition has to say. But you know, it certainly was, you know,
everything to do with what is not right and good.
Yeah. State of the Union should be an assessment of where the country is.
Mm-hmm.
And what has to be done to improve things. That's not what that speech was about at all. This guy presented a fantasy. Oh, man, we've rounded the corner. The recession is over, don't you know? You know, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Growth is, you know, just bursting. It's ridiculous what this man had to say. There's not a word of it that was true.
And he turned the memorial service in Tucson for the shooting victims of the MK Ultra shooter. Into a political rally.
Right.
Loaded audience and people applauding when they could have.
Yes. The guy could have took out his handkerchief and blew his nose. The audience would have jumped up and ecstatically applauded.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about a setup. It's absurd. Absurd.
I didn't watch but maybe 2 minutes of that and just the ending, and it was disgusting what I heard. Okay? It was. It was like, you know, how dare you act this way and be this way? You are without empathy. You are without sympathy. You are the problem. You know, not part of the problem. You are the problem. And everyone associated with you equally. It's so obvious what's going on, you know.
Yes.
And it gets your gander, okay? It gets you upset.
Right, Don. But at the same time, simultaneously, when we express the things we're talking about tonight, many people, the large percentage of people who listen to this recording will feel good. The truth sets you free. It's a liberating, explosive feeling of joyousness inside of you when you hear someone tell it like it really is, instead of the BS that we're typically exposed to on talk radio, on television, et cetera. People feel good when they hear the truth because it resonates in them.
Yes.
And that's so, yeah, it's true. It makes you angry. But at the same time, by us talking about it, by us telling, you know, folks, what is BS and, you know, what is true, it helps open their eyes. And once your eyes are open, they stay open.
And according to the research I've done on that issue in Tucson, I can tell you the media spun this out of control. And what we got was 99.9% lies. Yes, there were people shot. Yes, there were people that died. But we did not get the truth out of it. And I know what the truth is. I can say that with authority. Okay?
You're going to do a very good expose story on that. I know that's coming.
Yes. It is. And it's not a simple issue. It ties into everything we've been talking about, not just tonight, but on the 90-plus shows that you and I did, Ken, over the past few years since 2007.
Yeah, we're approaching 100. We've probably gone over 100 already. So,
well, we're out of time, gentlemen, but I want to give each of you an opportunity to make a closing statement in a minute or so. GS, do you want to kick it off?
Okay. Anyways, to finish off the thought which I had regarding the growth of China, is that right behind China, India is growing, and it's possible that the United States will, if a war happens as they're trying to push it now, United States could be the a fourth largest economy in the world behind China, India, and Japan. And people, the entrepreneurs of the United States who are not controlled, who are working on in their small towns, their small businesses, and the free energy people who are developing new technologies can change that economy around so that I believe that a free energy economy will be not based on GNP dollars and stuff like that, but based on the ability to make a livable city, make a livable country where people are free to be what they want. And with that type of technology, we wouldn't be manufacturing weapons. We would not be producing our children to be soldiers. We would be a civilization of people who love to be alive.
Very well put. Very well said. Ken, would you like to respond either to what he said or?
Yeah, well, he's right. He's right on target with the sort of thoughts that I have in this regard as well. Don't cooperate. Don't do anything that cooperates with the New World Order takeover and destruction of America. That you just got to think. Unfortunately, and this is a guy who was in the military and you know had a good time when I was there and thought I was doing the right thing at the time. I know better now. You don't want to join the military because you're just going to be part of a killing machine that is going to ultimately kill you because these guys who are going over to Iraq or Afghanistan, etc. They're engaged in killing people, usually innocent people, and you're not happy when you do something like that. And you don't come back and just pick up your civilian life and everything's fine again. No, no, no. You got a lifetime of bad dreams. You're not going to have a pleasant life. So don't become part of the satanic Pentagon murder machine. Don't have a job or do a job that's aiding the New World Order. You shouldn't be working for the DHS or FEMA or any other organizations that's part of this takeover of America. If you can get out of the corporate world, do. Become a self-employed person in which you can pool your talents, your money with others. Start a small business that's making products or things here in America by American citizens and help re-industrialize America from the grassroots level up. It can be done in even small cottage industries with the marketplace, if you will, of the internet. You have an international selling base, if you will. But think about what you're doing in your life. Am I helping the New World Order to take over and destroy America? If I am, I've got to change directions. You probably should be homeschooling your kids, because if you're sending them to the typical public school, you're just being fed the dumbed down crap and the Illuminati wants you to, the program that the Illuminati wants you to follow. Don't participate in the destruction of America. Look around. What role are you playing in this? And put yourself on a course in which you're helping America save America, help your fellow countrymen save this country. We're not going to allow, China to become the dominant government of the world, communist China. No way in hell, Harry. That's not going to happen. We're going to continue to be good allies with countries like Japan, etc. We're going to continue to reignite the American dream, in which all the virtues that the founding fathers of this country laid down in the Declaration of Independence and so forth in the Constitution are upheld. We're going to get rid of these illuminated slugs who have taken over and are heading this country towards ruin. that's the way you got to think. And that's the message that, you know, we all have to think about and move towards. So.
Well, I'd like to conclude with my own comment, and it's basically in response to what both you and ZS closed with here, Ken. While you were both talking, I asked myself, what is it about the Walton name that made it such a powerful name in the Illuminati? And as I listened to you both talk, suddenly I realized that, and this is speculation on my part, but might it be because spelled backwards, the words not law appear?
Oh, you're good at that. You're good.
Just a thought. Well, and I know it's going to provoke more commentary. We have to say goodnight. So I want to thank you both for being on the show. And we have to do this next month, if you guys are open to it. Sure. It's a very stimulating and informative conversation. At least that's how I perceived it.
Of course. Sure, Don.
Okay.
So,
yes.
Well, Ken Adachi and Zerno with Star Livingstone, I want to thank you both for being on Evident Footprints. And congratulate you for the work that you're doing. To read ZS's work, go to Ken Adachi's website, educate-yourself.org. And he's got his stuff plastered all over the website. Click on current news. The most recent essays appear there. And certainly read Ken's work, too, as well. I want to thank you both for being on the show and for the work you're doing. And wish you both a good night.
Thanks, Dave.
Great. Good night.
Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Again, Ken Adachi and ZS Livingstone. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints either live or in an archive. Over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Don Newsom on the sound. I also want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my guest will be and co-host, scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Mr. Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.